What's going on, guys? This is Supermax Hernandez, a.k.a. Hot Stuff Hernandez, from Ring of Honor Pro Wrestling, from the Texas Indies, and Impact Wrestling. You're listening to the ROH Review.
Hello, and welcome to ROH Review Interviews. I'm your host, three-time pro wrestling author Oliver Newman, and unfortunately, my co-host Stephen Jackson couldn't be here today. But I am delighted to be joined by Hot Stuff Hernandez, one half of one of the greatest tag teams in the new millennium, Latin American Exchange, Hernandez. And yeah, I think that'll do as an introduction. You tell me.
Oh, that's good, man. We're talking about ROH. Let's get into it.
Yeah. I'd like to say at this point, obviously, Hernandez has had a fantastic career. We'd like to have him on the Broken But Glorious Wrestling podcast in the future. But for the ROH review, we have to focus on his ROH career. Excuse me. And he's been nice enough to give up his time to do so. So thank you very much, Hernandez, for being with me today.
Not a problem. Let's go.
How are you doing? You all right?
I'm doing good. I'm over here. I'm in Palestine, Texas. My dad has a winery. And he just celebrated his 80th birthday.
Oh, so happy birthday.
So we are, you know, renovating the winery to at least to the 2000s.
Okay. So, yeah, like I said, we're going to focus on your ROH career. So going back right to the beginning, what was it like training at the Texas Wrestling Academy?
It was a lot different because I got my first start training with Tugboat Taylor and Chaz Hill of Global Wrestling back in the 90s.
Okay.
And just got my basics in, and then I started traveling and with Texas Wrestling Academy with Rudy. Mm-hmm. You know, they're going to Ring of Honor, they're going to NWA Wildside, different places. And you really don't learn how to wrestle just being in Houston.
Yeah.
So, you know, I went to San Antonio, Dallas, and, you know, started getting Rudy with his crew, and we started going to, you know, California, Georgia, New York, just to learn how to work different styles, and that's how it worked out.
Yeah. Who were the standout students at the time, apart from yourself?
Well, Rudy Boy is it was Shawn Michaels' last trainer.
Yeah.
So he trained Brian Danielson, Lance Cade, Shooter Schultz. That's just three of the guys that, you know, made a name going from Texas Wrestling Academy to the WWE.
Yeah. Before you started in ROH, what did you think of the product? Was you a fan?
Honestly, I was just doing Texas Indies and I was very fortunate. I got my foot in the door in All Japan. And then, you know, when you have a family, you want to wrestle stateside.
Mm-hmm.
And ROH was the biggest name going at the time, other than WWE.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everyone was begging just to get a dark match or a tryout match.
Yeah.
And we would drive 24 hours.
That's
from
crazy.
Texas, from Texas to New York. It's a great story because we'd drive from Texas to Georgia. We'd wrestle that Friday, spend the night, go to New York for Ring of Honor, and hope that we get a tryout match.
Wow.
Nothing was ever guaranteed when we went there.
Yeah.
You know, there was about 8 to 10 of us in that van, and it was up to Gabe and whether who got to wrestle and who didn't. So.
Yeah, talk about paying your dues, ladies and gents. That's crazy amount of traveling just for an possible opportunity. So, who was with you in the van most of the time?
Most of the time, it was Masada from, I don't know if he is super hardcore from Big Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
Great guy, great wrestler. Fast Eddie, he was a, semi-blind wrestler, but he was really good.
Yeah.
And then, the chairs always change. It's, it takes a lot of heart and commitment to go to Texas, to New York for a maybe.
Yeah.
Not even getting paid for a maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So that's only three definite guys that always would go no matter what because, you know, real life, real jobs, you know, and also, you know, you have to look at yourself in the mirror. After the first, the second, third time I didn't get picked to be to get in Ring of Honor tryout, maybe I'm not ready, or maybe I'm not good enough, or maybe I should try something else.
Yeah.
Real, you got to realize it's 24 hours just to get there.
Mm.
Then do your performance, then come back, you know, and you're hoping for a bigger spot on the card next time so you can get paid.
Yeah. Yeah. My modern day favorite wrestler is Paul London. Did you spend much time with Paul? And if you did, what was he like as a person? And did you see what he would become as a wrestler?
Well, we were the group right after Paul London's group.
Oh, okay.
So, Paul was already a star when we were just trying to come in.
Yeah. I thought you was just after, but I thought that's the question. Yeah, you come into Ring of Honor, and you was in a feud with the Carnage crew. What did you make of HC Loke and Tony DeVito, and I believe the guy you just mentioned there, Masada, when he was a part of the Carnage crew?
It was definitely a big eye-opener because, I mean, I've never been in a ring with two ring generals that are really tough guys, and they're willing to help you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these guys were great. I mean, probably the first guys I would run a ring with that were veterans that didn't want to eat you up and didn't want, you know, actually was teaching you as you wrestled, which was very cool when they didn't have to, because we, you know, we're nobodies and they had, you know, obviously a bigger name being on the East Coast. They could just beat us up, eat us up and squash us, and that'd been it. But I mean, they actually worked with us and taught us a lot.
Yeah. What's the story behind the Hot Stuff Hernandez nickname? There's got everyone.
Oh, not really. It's just I got put on the spot. You know, I was training and, you know, I didn't think I was ready for matches. And my trainer said, "We have a match Friday." And it was a Wednesday.
Okay.
So it was either just come up with a million names. I couldn't come up with anything. And finally, I said, "It's either going to be Hot Stuff Hernandez or Hurricane Hernandez." You know, nothing big, just something that, you know, when you can't think of something on the fly and you're nervous, that's what I went with.
Well, the real answer to that should have been you was studying your Eddie Gilbert tapes and you was like, yeah, I'll take from him.
Oh, Eddie Gilbert was too hot. Yeah, trust me, once I realized the mistake of going by Hot Stuff Hernandez and everyone tried to, "Oh, you're no Eddie Gilbert. You know Eddie."
Yeah.
Trust me, I already lived that one down. I tried to change it as soon as possible.
Yeah. What was it like wrestling Samoa Joe in his first? It was a non-title match, but the first match he had when he was the ROH champion. What was that like?
It was unreal because, like I said, I went from a pre-match guy who was lucky to have a match and, you know, to going to the Carnage crew who were there just to help the younger guys. Then you go to one of the staples, one of the founding fathers of Ring of Honor, you know, with him, Punk, and Homicide.
Mm-hmm.
It was a blur. I mean, I'm a big, strong guy, but I mean, you also got those rabid East Coast fans that will eat you up if you mess up or you can't perform to the same level as the other guys. So, yeah, it was very, very mind-wracking.
Yeah, high-pressure situation kind of thing.
Most definitely. I always say you got to be careful what you wish for. Because, you know, I wanted to be a part, big part of ROH.
Yep.
I thought I was going to get eased in like this, you know. I was like less than my third or fourth match there. So
That's crazy. Was there any like standout matches in your feud with the Carnage crew?
Those just mass chaos. Those guys know how to entertain a local crowd. trying to keep up with those guys to where the crowd actually gets into the whole thing, and I just want to glorify squash. I mean, we did some pretty dumb things. I remember doing my big dive to the outside.
Yeah.
DeVito smashed me in the face of the chair as I land. So
that was
probably the highlight of that one.
Yeah.
I don't remember too much.
Because obviously the size here and when you were flying over the top rope, so I was like, who is this guy? And then I found out it's Hot Stuff Hernandez. I was like, okay, I like this guy. I'm going to keep tabs on him. And here we are, some 17 years later. And I think I kept tabs on the right guy. I think you've had a good career. You mentioned this before. What was it like tagging with Fast Eddie?
Good and difficult because, like I said, he has very bad eyesight. I mean, mm-hmm. probably like he's legally blind.
Yeah.
But he's very, very, he's very talented. He can do anything any cruiserweight can do. It's just sometimes some timing issues because obviously the eyesight's not where it needs to be at. But it was fun because, I mean, we're both from Houston. We're both Houston guys.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was kind of cool. Myself, Fast Eddie, and Masada. Masada's from Beaumont, which is about an hour and a half from Houston.
Okay.
To watch us three, outlast a lot of some of these other San Antonio guys that Rudy was bringing.
Yeah. What was he like wrestling a scramble match? And in this instance, you and Fast Eddie were going for the number one contendership to the ROH tag team titles.
one that was a long time ago too is this: these guys were so good. I mean, we just didn't want to be the weak link of any of the matches.
Yeah.
I mean, because you gotta realize all these guys get to wrestle the same level of talent all the time. Where at the time, Texas was not nowhere near what these guys were doing. I mean, these guys were the future right then, and we were just lucky and struggling to catch up.
Yeah. Any thoughts and memories on wrestling the SATs, Spanish Announce Team, Jose and Joel Maximo?
Those guys, along with Amazing Red, are just, they should be put into the discussion for Founding Fathers of Ring of Honor because those guys were great innovators for their time. A lot of these guys do cruiser stuff now are copying their stuff from, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
Those are good guys.
Yeah. Well, they are ROH originals, aren't they? So, I think if they ever have a Hall of Fame, then they're a first ballot, you worked with Fast Eddie again against the Backseat Boys with the late, great Trent Acid. What were your thoughts and memories on Trent?
Trent was awesome. I mean, here we are. We have we're having a match. We're nervous to high hell. Because, I mean, like I said, things are a lot different. Especially from Texas to East Coast fans.
Yep.
East Coast fans are rabid. They're mean. They can heckle. They can cheer. They can do whatever. But, they're very, very fickle. And they can make things very difficult if you let them. And Trent just sat us down for the match. We went over everything and relaxed us a little bit. And we went out there and just tried to hang out with the man. They were good. They were really good. Trent was awesome. Very, very smooth.
Yeah. It would have been really interesting to see where he'd be now if he didn't pass away.
Most definitely.
Yeah. Your early ex-partner was Homicide. When did you first meet Homicide and what did you make of him at the time as a person, as a wrestler?
It was a funny story. I remember we were in Boston and I was pre-show, of course. He was the main event. It was very few times where he wasn't, you know, the last two or three matches of every show.
Yeah.
And just being a student and watching, you know, I'd have my match, get cleaned up, go put my normal clothes on and find the nearest balcony and watch those last three matches because I wanted to see what it took to be in those last three matches, why they could capture the crowd so well as the way they did.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. I mean, there was a time where there was a DVD that me and Homicide saw a little while ago. It was like 17, 16 years ago. He's doing a pull apart for an angle, and I'm actually holding him back. You know, who would have thought, you know, 6 years later or 5 years later that we'd be tag partners?
Yeah. Could that have been the stuff with like Steve Corino, maybe?
I believe so.
Yeah, because that would be a really tangled web, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Based on that. Yeah, and like you said, you're being modest. One of the best tag team champions that they've ever had. LAX, especially against AJ Styles and Christopher Daniels. That was magic. It really was.
And they're also Ring of Honor legends, both of those guys.
Exactly. All four of you come from Ring of Honor.
Those three were legends. I was just an add-on.
I've got a question from my co-host, Steven Jackson. He says, how did it feel wrestling as part of LAX in ROH? Yeah.
Oh, this is when we wrestled the Briscoes and stuff like that. Like, 2008, right?
Yeah, the ROH return. So, return of the 187, and you wrestled in an Iron Team match, which is a really unique concept. And you wrestled Age of the Fall, Jimmy Jacobs and Tyler Black, Kevin Steen and El Generico, and I believe Davey Richards and Eddie Edwards.
Yeah.
I want to say that.
Yeah, that was just mass chaos. You know, we flew the red eye from Las Vegas because we had a taping in Las Vegas for TNA.
Yeah.
Straight to the, I think this was like Massachusetts area. And so we had hardly any sleep. To do those matches against that high level of talent was pretty taxing, but we had a great time. Those guys were awesome.
Yeah.
Every one of those guys you mentioned, you know, have had great careers.
Yeah. And you wrestled 30 minutes, four team Ironman match on no sleep. That's mad. That is absolutely crazy. You mentioned it just previously. You came back again and you wrestled the Briscoes for the ROH World Tag Team titles.
Yes.
What did you make of the Briscoes and the match?
Oh, Briscoes are great, man. I mean, those guys should be millionaires.
Yeah.
You know, this their gimmick, you know, the wrestling style is awesome. One of them, you know, we will get into it. If you notice, Homicide got a little upset earlier in the match, and I think one of the Briscoes got his nose broke.
Jeez.
You know, because Homicide got mad and headbutted him right in the nose. And you gotta look at my point of view. For the last two or three years, I've been doing nothing but TV wrestling.
Yeah.
When I see Homicide legit headbutt this guy in the nose and it's bleeding everywhere, I'm ready to go home. I mean, I'm making great money at TNA. Things are great. Dude, I don't need this. I don't need this at all.
You have to put on your working boots when you go back to ROH, I think.
Oh, yes.
Compared to TV wrestling.
Well, I mean, let's be realistic. When you're on TV wrestling, you're going anywhere from 3 to 7 minutes max.
Yeah.
You know, then, of course, the pay-per-views, depending on how high you're on the card, you're 12, you know, so what, every other month or every month or once a month, you're going a normal 15-minute match.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, when you're wrestling the Ring of Honor where you have to go 15 to 20 minimum and you're going balls to the wall.
Yeah.
It's huge eye-opener, you know, just like We went back, I think, to Ring of Honor 2010 or 11. Me and Homicide wrestled Chris Hero and Claudio.
Yep, stop reading my notes. That's one of my next questions. So, yeah, you've already started talking about it. But, yeah, you went back to Ring of Honor because you're reading my notes. Yeah. And you wrestled the Kings of Wrestling, Claudio Castagnoli and Chris Hero. What did you make of this match?
Oh, it was very, very, you know, stressful for me because, you know, I love wrestling with Homicide, but he enjoys that Ring of Honor crowd. And I don't know what to make of them because those guys are so rowdy.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're students of the game. They want their wrestling. They want their comedy. They want their violence. They want everything. And no mess ups, no, you know, perfect match.
Yeah.
You know, so I distinctly remember I walked, you know, was Homicide did his opening spot with Kazuhiro when he tagged out. I tagged in. As soon as I tagged in, there's over 2,000 fans screaming, fuck TNA. So I'm like, oh my God, yeah. I'm going to bomb in New York City in Homicide's hometown.
Yeah.
And I'm going to make him look bad. And then, you know, me and Claudio did our spot, and I yanked him up there for like a 75-second vertical.
Nice. And
boom, hit it. And then as soon as I hit it, I looked up. Everyone's chanting, fuck Matt Morgan. So
it didn't work out well for Matt Morgan, but, yeah, it worked out well for you.
Oh, yes.
But yeah, I was watching a tag team match not so long ago. And it was between the Briscoes and the Motor City Machine Guns. Yes. And this match went over 30 minutes. And the ROH fans only started chanting, this is awesome, at the 30-minute mark. So I can understand what you're saying.
Those guys were brutal, man.
Yeah. I think they respected great wrestling, but they were very ECW-like if you made any mistakes or if it wasn't up to standard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, what was your favorite match in Ring of Honor?
Ring of Honor, one scramble match we had. This was, don't quote me. This was in New Jersey. This is probably 2003 or 4.
Oh, well, I'm going to quote you.
And I knocked myself out.
Jeez.
And all I know is it was myself, Fast Eddie, I guess it was Texas Academy versus Carnage Crew in some kind of crazy match. And you know, I remember I got a concussion like a week or two before, and so we all agreed in the back, no chair shots to the head. The very first chair Masada grabbed, he cracks me right in the head.
Jeez.
And I was loopy for the next. All I know is I was getting undressed. I was getting undressed after the match. I go, what are we going on? We already had the match. I go, what? Yeah, it was. So that was probably, yeah, for myself, you know, the biggest wake up call for wrestling. Hey, maybe we should gear to some TV wrestling and make some money.
Yeah, or tone it down, maybe.
Oh, yes. Never tone it down in Ring of Honor. There's no way.
No. Yeah, you can't do it in Ring of Honor, definitely. So, yeah, we're standing here. It's the 18th of February 2020. Do you see a possible ROH return in 2020?
Well, the landscape has changed, and anything's possible, you know. Homicide's doing the old whatever reunion show in March.
Yeah, past versus present.
You know, we're all getting a little bit older. So yeah, I would like to return to Ring of Honor, give it one hard one run, but it's as a tag with Homicide, not solo.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Because for most of your ROH run, it has been like tag matches and stuff, hasn't it? So. But it would be interesting to see you as a solo wrestler. But you're saying no to that, so.
Well, It's only because how badly that, you know, things are misconstrued and straight up lied to when you're a singles wrestler.
Oh, okay. You know, better to have backup.
You see a whole different side of the politics.
Yeah.
Being a single wrestler than being a tag. Tag wrestlers, me and my partner putting on great matches, becoming tag champions, you know, and getting paid and having beers afterwards. We don't have to politic, you know, bury anyone just to get their spot higher. It's tag wrestling's a dream compared to single wrestling.
And especially when you've got Homicide to back you up.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Homicide's the greatest. I mean, wrestling wise and wrestling mind, he's a genius.
Yeah. And from a wrestler's perspective and maybe even a fan's perspective, are you looking forward to Homicide versus Brody King on this ROH Past versus Present show?
I think the newer Ring of Honor fans are going to be surprised that, you know, because the size difference is really big.
Yeah.
But, you know, Homicide, and I don't say this lightly, I've been wrestling for 22 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen a wrestler that's his size exude to, he's like 6'4", 250.
It's true.
Because, true story, he's the exact same size as my dad. My dad is, you know, the exact same size as Homicide. But, you know, and my dad was Green Beret. He's, you know, he taught self-defense for the Houston Police Department here in Texas.
Okay.
And I still got my money on Homicide. Because this guy, I mean, he's what, 5'9", like, you know, 200 pounds, but I mean, you put him in that ring and that bell rings, he's 6'4", 6'5", 250.
Yeah. I think Homicide against Hernandez's dad could sell some tickets though. And oh, I think we've started the feud tonight here on the ROH review.
Well, we've only wrestled once on television against each other. And, you know, there's a lot of times that there's a lot of people asked and on local indies, you know, but if it's not making money, I'm good. You know, because I have to bring my lunch pail and, you know, work out even extra hard just to fight Homicide for 30 minutes. You know?
That's true. Like you said, you've had a 22-year career so far. It has been fantastic. And we've just covered a snippet of it in this ROH review. Love to have you back on the main show in the future. Before we head off, is there anything you'd like to plug or promote? You want to talk about your social media or anything?
I'm on Twitter, Supermex, at SupermexCTM, at SupermexCTM. I'm on Instagram at LEX Hernandez. I'm an old man, yo. So there's so many new, you know, there's so new many, you know, like TikTok and this, and I'm good. I can barely keep up with those. So
yeah, I want to see you on TikTok though. That'll be good. Hernandez dancing to, I don't know, the LAX music or something. That would be quite cool. But thank you very much for taking time out of your day today. And this has been a really cool interview. And like you said, we've only, you know, touched the iceberg with this. Your career is amazing. The research I would have had to do for your career would have took me days. So I'm glad we've taken it and just covered ROH, and it's been fantastic. And me and Stephen would love to see you back in an ROH ring with Homicide, LAX. Yeah, be great.
Love it.
Thanks so much, Hernandez.
Not a problem. Thank you, brother.
Cheers. Bye. We are extremely proud to be a part of the Broken But Glorious Wrestling Podcast team. They are our hosts, and we really appreciate it. So go follow them on Twitter, at @BBGWWrestling, at @BBGWPod, and @BBGWrestling.com. We have a partnership with powerslam.tv, and they have over 6,500 hours of professional wrestling from 140 plus promotions. Use that on us for free for a month using the code BROKENFREE. To myself, I'm a three-time pro wrestling author. Firstly, Fans Perspective, One Man's Exploration of British Wrestling. ROH is in this book, so that's the reason to buy it. I was at Unified in 2006. I was in the same hotel as ROH wrestlers in 2007 and at the Liverpool Double Shot in 2007 too. Second up is a book that I don't usually promote, but it has ROH alumni in it. It's a Fan's Perspective 2016, What a Year to Be a Fan of WWE. If you want to find out what happened with AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, etc., make sure you read this book. And lastly, Fan's Perspective, How My Lifelong Dream Became a Nightmare. I was at the Orlando Double Shot in 2008, and I took ROH alumni, my modern-day favourite wrestler, Paul London, to the main event and to the World Heavyweight title, and it's in this book. And then for all three books, are available on paperback and Kindle, and Kindle Limited for free, signed via my Big Cartel. So contact me on fansperspective.bigcartel.com. And that is fine and dandy. Lastly, our social media. So Twitter is at ROH Review. Instagram is at ROH Review. We now have a Facebook page, facebook.com/ROH Review 2019, because that's when we were established. YouTube is one of those funny things that we have to put in the description. And our email is rohreviewoutlook.com. Comments, questions, feedback, send it our way via any of those social medias. And we will crack on with what you need to know. Thank you very much, everyone. And we'll see you soon. Bye for now. Bye.